Betsy. It is as if her body and mind have split in two, and each half is working against the other, paralyzing her. All she can do is stare up at him. His eyes bulge out at her. His jaw gapes open, a dark hole hanging in a silent scream. His body is caught face down on two of the steel beams crisscrossing the tent. It hangs there limply, contorted in a sickly, unnatural pose, one shoulder twisted up to his ear, and the other jerked down as though he's been thrown off his axis. An ugly black gash near his temple drips a steady trickle of blood onto the table with a sickening splatter. It mingles with the cake and drains off the side of the table into a dark pool on the floor. Beyond the beams, there's a dark hole in the tent, a jagged rip in the white canvas where he broke through it. She stands below him as the water pours in through the hole, running off his body and onto the tent floor. One of his arms dangles straight down. His fingers curve as though he is reaching for her, pleading for help. Betsy gulps for air, but is unable to breathe. Backing away, she catches the edge of one of the colanders or baking utensils, and it crashes to the ground. It takes several more moments to absorb the shock of what she's seeing. When she emerges from it, she finds herself gasping for air, looking wildly around the tent. "No," she finally pushes out as her lungs fill and begin to work double time. She breaks into full-throated screams. "I should be finding something to help get him down," she thinks. But instead, she backs away, stepping through the aisle in the center of the tent, keeping the flashlight trained on him as though he might disappear. Or worse. She makes her way back through the baking tables, stumbling as she goes. Each stand mixer, each set of bowls looks like a monster in her peripheral vision. The wind whips the side of the tent. The rain lands like bullets on the sheeting. She finally reaches the back door. Her flashlight beam is weak, but as she takes one last horrified glance at the front of the tent, she thinks she can see his fingers move. She runs toward the house in a nightmarish daze. Her shoes stick in the muddy lawn, trying to glue her in place. She pulls her feet free and leaves them there, sunken in the grass. Running barefoot up the steps, her arms splayed out to either side, she screams again up into the foyer. Her voice, competing with the rain and wind, is swallowed up by the house. Shaking, Betsy digs into her pocket for her phone. She punches in 911 as she stands in the center of the foyer with bare, muddy feet, rain dripping off her father's raincoat and pooling around her on the floor. 911, what is your emergency? A staticky voice comes through the phone. Archie Morris is dead. The idea is nearly impossible to grasp. Just hours ago, Archie was her worst enemy. And then a thought occurs to her. The show. What would happen to Bake Week now? With Archie gone, would everything go back to the way it was? The producers couldn't survive this sort of scandal without her. They'd need her now to steer the show. Perhaps this is a gift to her from the universe. She slips the phone back into her pocket and begins again to scream for help.